It's the 22nd day of April, the year 2021, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, with Harcourt sitting right down next to me. I have a closed Bible, a notepad, some fresh water, and a head full of knowledge and wisdom that I'd like to share with you. First of all, let me say this. I am an intelligent mind. I do not put a premium on ignorance. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I do not want to be popular. When I was younger, I was very popular. Had my own radio program, paid for it out of my own pocket, and with a little help from my real friends. Never tried to shuck and jive anyone over the radio. And if any of them took the spiritual advice that I was blessing them with to this date, that person is a progressive individual, and their lives are like no other lives being lived, in complete harmony and peace and apprehension of a God that loves them and will sustain them for the rest of their days. Thank you for coming to the webcast. Yes, I'm an independent thinker with very good reasons. In the past couple of days since the trial of Derek Chauvin is over and they found him guilty of all three counts, more people have died at the hands of policemen. There's nothing wrong with the policemen, not in all the cases. In some of the cases there is, and if you do the policeman like Derek Chauvin was done, you'll find that there is justice and peace in the land. You can't go around and hang a black man or kill a black woman or kill anybody that has a mental health problem like some of these cops have been doing. They won't be able to get away with it. But a part of my discussion is not discussing that. I think I asked you the other day, what was the primary objective that a lot of the people that has died in this country at the hands of police, what is the major, and listen, let me say this before I get into this. There are some of you that are going to listen to me and you are bent to misunderstand what I'm saying, because you don't like me. Well, let me say this right now. I'm too old to give a damn about whether you like me or not. My hair is white, and so are the whites of my eyes. They're not red because they're not polluted with drugs and alcohol and things like that. When my dog senses danger, he attacks, and I do too, because I believe that danger has been perpetrated on our community, not by no cops. Nothing, no, not by a bunch of policemen. Let me make this perfectly clear as I continue to have this conversation with you. I affirm the police. I'd be damned if I'm going to sign anything to let you cut their funds. I am a person that believes in policing. And I believe that if policing is done correctly, under the correct lines of jurisprudence and penal codes and codes of justice, did you ever think what the MCMJ stands for? The military code the military code of justice, ethics. There has to be law and order. Order comes from a mindset that disorder brings chaos. And we've seen just on the internet, on the news the past couple of days, chaos coming in the lives of people of our community, whether they be in the projects or in a neighborhood with a house and with parents. The inevitable question that I'm asking is, what are grown parents teaching their children? How are they guiding their children today? I had a man over to my house today, and another man contacted me and asked me a question. He said, Pastor John, where do you find that the place in your heart to love an individual when most of us can't find that area? We respond in a place that maybe would not be for our best benefit. And the man overheard me listening to the question that another man asked me. And the man, who's over 50, asked me, answer the question, where do you find that place? I said, oh, brother, you know that. Come on, don't play with me. You know, he sat in the church that I pastored for years. I said, you know the answer to that. I mean, I'm preaching it. I'm saying it. Every time I get up to preach, I'm saying it. Garland Gayden, he's still alive. He recorded most of my DVDs. I have my sermons. You know what I do on Sunday morning? I pop in a DVD. That's where I go to church. I listen to me preach. Because when I go to any other church service, they're just giving psychological counseling sessions that won't help a bullfrog. But when I listen to me preach, I sound just the way I sound on this webcast. And a lot of people don't like me because I am an absolutist. I'm coming to, not only do I have the solving of the problem, I have a way that you can make the solving of the problem solvent. In other words, solidified, frozen over, protected for life. In other words, when you gain a particular ethical principle, listen to me, millennials. When you discover a principle, it's like when you're going to college and you're going to work on that professional degree because you're going to, in some kind of way, professionally, let's say that you're in medicine, you're going to professionally be dealing with blood types, different blood types of people. If you're dealing with psychological behavior, you want to study B.F. Skinner. See, I know enough about that. You have to know what a synapse is and how that synapse works when it's tapped rightly or tapped wrongly. You have to know that if you get into that field, the certain principles. And if you haven't learned that, that means that you haven't gone through and everybody doesn't have to go through this, but if you go through a regular junior college and take the recommended classes, you can learn about life. And so that as you grow older, you go back to those classes. Let me give you an example. Years ago, back in the 70s, when I took a governmental supervision class, I gave the book to Judy. I don't know where she is now, but I gave her the book because I was quoting some things to her. She was a member of the church that I pastored. And I said, I have the right book for you. I think I'll look it up. It's called The Management-Minded Supervisor. It was a book for first-line supervisors, people that were like post office supervisors. You supervise a work crew, a forklift drivers, and things like that. And it had some simple but yet complex ideas that it was trying to teach us as young people when I was in junior college. I have you to know that I use that book in some of my Bible formats, because the teaching is something that you can carry with you the rest of your life, and it works. I run into an awful lot of young people today, the dream, a little too damn much for me. I'm not a dreamer. I don't want to be a dreamer. I meet older men that want to dream. I mean, it's easy to do that. All you do is throw out everything tangible and then latch on to stuff that falls out of the clouds, or wherever it falls from, and you grab it. But I know this. I believe in the law of physics. What goes up must come down. And some of our prayers are going up and ain't nothing coming down but garbage because you never reach God. God is not that kind. God is not a cosmic killjoy. He's not going to do that. He is going to give us certain warning signs to let us know that something may be wrong, and he expects us to investigate those warning signs. We live in a generation of people that don't investigate anything. What do you think about a teenager that would get a knife and wave it at other people in her community, all out in front of a house, threatening. Now, somebody had to call the police on that 16-year-old girl. Somebody had to call the police. I doubt that it was a bunch of white people calling for that because I don't know. I don't know who called, but I bet you it was somebody black calling. There's a young black girl out here with a knife, and they cussing and fighting all out in front of the house. Help us. Oh, I was talking with one man, and he said, well, they could have come up and jumped out of the car and tased her. Wait a minute. This is a life-threatening thing because what I saw is what you saw. One of the community members kicked her in the behind and kicked her down to the ground. That was his way of trying to stop her. So when the cop gets out and orders a command and she ain't following the command, people's life is in danger. Boom, boom, boom. Didn't you hear me? Huh. No, we're not going to go through another George Floyd trial. It ain't, no, we're not going to, no. He didn't sit on nobody's neck and he did, what was she doing? There comes a time in the life of any human being, and you parents need to listen to me. If you got children, you need to tell them, you're going to make a choice to do something. And at times when you make that choice to do something, since you're adult enough to want to hurt another human being, and these social networks, I'm telling you, there's so much hatred going on online. And these people will kill you. Teach your children to shut up. Now, where did they first learn the lesson to shut up in the home that they're in with you? If the child is lucky enough to have a father and a mother, I know some of you don't agree with that because you don't believe in listening to no black man. I know, well, I'm a black man. You're going to listen to me if you're going to get to the end of this webcast. Now, I know you can shut me off at any minute. And I've already told you, hey, I don't even check the hit counts on my website because I don't care. A man was over here and I said, you have to get up and leave. He said, why? I said, because I have to talk to my audience. But you don't even know who listens to you. You don't know how many listens. How do you know? Oh, they're listening. They're listening. And they're not going to contact me and tell me, but they're listening. And if they don't pay attention to this preacher, this pastor that don't want their tithes, their offering, and none of that, you can keep that stuff and give that to the Salvation Army. They need it far much more than I do. Quiet as kept, most of these people calling themselves pastors don't require your money. Because if they're smart and they live in America, they know how to get up off their lazy behinds and get a job and make their life work like I do. Like I did. I'm planning. I saved up a few dollars. And how, man? You only make $1,000 a month in Social Security. How do you save up a few dollars? I saved up a few dollars over time to paint my house. I'm still living in this house. I'm not going to ask anybody for it. One friend of mine told me, oh, you can contact the city service and they'll pay for half of it because you're a senior citizen and I don't depend upon nobody to do anything that I can do myself. One of my friends told me, that's why, John, you're never going to have anything because you spend too much money on things that you can get for nothing if you play coy and dumb. Now, what would I look like playing coy and dumb? I'd look like a nigger. You hear my dog the way he... Oh, there's a dog trying to fight him through the fence outside. You see, and you notice I'm not going to tell him to stop because that's his role. He's to protect this property. I feed him. I give him water. He sleeps on a little bed right next to mine. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Are your children doing what they're supposed to do? Or are they listening to people on Facebook, on Twitter? Are they listening to the DMXs of the world? Oh, yeah. Ooh. You know, I want to look at, see who He's barking at me because this is... Y'all hang on.
I'll be right back. I'm trying to see him. Harcourt, you better go and sit down and leave that dog alone. Oh, my goodness.
You know what he was doing?
My neighbor has a Doberman Pinscher. And when Harcourt doesn't go walking with me, because I was supposed to take him walking, but I told him it's too cool outside, he gets angry and he takes it out on the neighbor's dog. He just tries to eat through the metal fence. And the Doberman just looks at him because Harcourt's a little fella. But he does what he's supposed to do. That's why he is my dog and I feed him. Now, there's a point in me continuously saying that. Because in nature, every objective disposition in nature knows exactly what it is that they're supposed to do. Let's come back to the police. Everybody knows what a police person is there for. I don't want to hear about your grandma. I don't want to hear about, man, I was talking with a friend. I think he's a friend. I went to high school with him. He lives down the street from me. He was telling me why he doesn't care for cops at all. Harcourt, I heard you out there. You're a good boy. You're a good boy. You're doing it. Mm-hmm. And I feel some water on you or something. Yeah, that dog was slobbering on you through the fence. You better keep that little nose protected. Sit down somewhere. Anyhow. Yeah, like my little dog. And you know what? Does it sound like I'm enjoying my life? Because I am. 77 years old and enjoying my life. Enjoying this time in the studio with you. Because I know that some of you are going to listen to me and you're at your wit's end. How do we live in a world that appears to be going mad? It's not appearing anything. Choose who you are and how you are, where you are, and why you are, and live it. No secret formulas, no new religious quotes. Read the Bible, quote the Bible, live by the Word of God. I still do that. I live by the Word. I was pastoring a church called Living by the Word Bible Church. That was a church here in Los Angeles that I pastored. Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. What's the other one? Olivet Baptist Church, which is a biblical alternative nickname, the VETT, the VET. Most of the older people that knew me way back in the day remember me from back there. I haven't changed. I am the exact same person, living, breathing, talking, just as if I was in KKLA Studios or K-Bright Studios on the radio talking. Mine just as sharp. That's why I'm hoping that a lot of people that heard me on the radio, they see what's going on in Christianity, and they say, whatever happened to John Coleman? And if they type in Pastor John in their browser, guess whose name comes out at the top of the list every time? Mine. You can go in there and see pictures of my family and everything. That's Pastor John. And they would say, well, let me see what this dude is talking about. And when they hear me talk, they're going to say, you know what? Either he makes sense or he doesn't. I had a pastor call me the other night, right before I went to bed. And he said, John, what's your take on the 16-year-old girl getting shot? I said, she committed suicide. Just like anybody that's going to try to stab anybody at any time. But you see, you're looking at these movies. You don't have God in your life. You're godless, totally godless. I'm not talking about your mama and all of them going to church screaming and talking about Jesus, help me, Jesus. No. You know, it's like I said to a man, what do you do? And this is what I ask a man today. I said, what would you do if your wife called you and told you that your grandchild was by the house and your grandchild swallowed a quarter and was choking to death and the people in the house couldn't get the quarter out of the throat of your granddaughter? What would you tell your wife? There was silence. And I says, I'm done, man. I'm done. Because I said, every husband should know what to tell his wife. And he said, talk me through it, Pastor John. I said, okay. I'll talk you through it. You're on the freeway on the way home, miles away from the location. The first thing that you should do is say, did you have someone there where you are call for the police and the paramedic? Because you need immediate help. You don't need me.
Yeah, but baby, hurry up and come home.
I painted the scenario very well. And I said, what would you say to your wife? Now, I could take time and tell you what I would say, but that would not be fair. Because each of us are going to go through life's turmoil. We're going to go through some turmoil as well as tranquility. We would like to think that we would like to live a life of tranquil living where everything is going to be. But your children are picking up everything, eating it from golf balls to whole cookies because they haven't been taught to chew and to digest and what their system is all about. And if you leave pennies, nickels, and dimes and quarters around undisciplined offspring, they will eventually pick it up and put it in their mouth and they will choke to death. What would you tell the grandmother of the child that is choking to death as the grandmother appears to be freaking out over the phone? Now, I ask questions like that, and it makes a lot of people upset. They say, oh, you're just a negative person. I said, I'm not a negative person. Do you know how many times that happens a day in around the world? I said, now, the reason that I make a webcast, you see, I'm not trying to come to consensus with anybody about anything. I lived 77 years. My wife had two strokes, major heart attacks, major open heart surgery, and I've had that once, and lived through traumatic experiences as a young woman. She married me while she was with me for 35 years. We experienced trauma together. I never panicked in front of her. I never lost my composure. And some of you are listening to me know what I'm talking about because you know me. Because you've been, man, there's one guy, he's a deputy. I love Deputy Gaston. He came to the hospital the day that my wife died. She was in this hospital out in Inglewood. It doesn't exist anymore. And he was there when I told him to turn off the oxygen. That my wife is no longer. I said, will she be able to function as a normative human being in any way close to the way it was prior to her coming into this facility? And the nurse looked at me and I said, unplug my wife off this machine right now. One of my daughters were there. The other one was out of town. Deputy Gaston saw me. There was no crying, no weeping, no turmoil, no fussing, no blaming, no cursing, no falling out. There was none of that. How did I survive? How did I survive it? I survived it with the same God that I've been talking about on this website. since 2002. It is now 2021. Saying the same thing. Why won't people get it? You know why they won't get it? God put it easily. God said, oh, you've forsaken and forgotten me. I'm going to forsake and forget you. There's one part in the book of Isaiah where he says, take away from me your instruments, your vile instruments of music and your noise of your clanging cymbals. There's one guy, I forget his name, I was listening to his record. Ah, water's good for me. He was singing this record called Falling in Love with Jesus. And I said, what? Falling in love with Jesus. And I heard these people singing this stuff. And Kirk Whalum, I think, was one of the persons. And I don't know who the other one was. But they were singing in that stage show down the street on Crenshaw, West Angeles. Cathedral is what they call it. And this man is talking about falling in love with Jesus. Now, I have never felt in love with the deity. As a matter of fact, I think that's almost sacrilege saying that, because he doesn't want you to have a love relationship with him. He wants you to have an obedient relationship. I hear all these people talking about falling in love with Jesus, but they're living like total wretches. But you're a liar. I remember one woman asked me in church, Pastor John, do you read minds? I said, woman, you can have sex with whoever you want to. I don't even care, really. After I told her that, that woman never came back to that church again, nor the man she was sleeping with. Because I told her, that's not what I'm here for. See, people in my community and other communities have this thing about God all mixed up. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I've ever done and all that kind of stuff. I said, what? Well, when do you show yourself falling out of love with him? Most of us know more about Kirk Whalum and Kirk Franklin than we do of the true Jesus of the Bible. And that's shame. But back to the point. You think I'm a bad guy? You think I have a sorrowful heart, that I'm just old and mad because I can't do this, I can't do that? Wait a minute. Somebody asked me a couple of days ago, they say, John, why don't you take a couple of days off and rent a car if you want to, because, you know, I can still drive, and drive to another city and just spend a few days in a hotel room reading a book away and enjoy yourself. I said, for what? Why would I waste that money? When I can stay in this house that God blessed me with, be in this Lucy Coleman studio, talk to a group of people that may be going through heartache and despair because they've made the wrong choices in life. God isn't finished with me. He didn't tell me to stop admonishing my brothers and sisters. It's not about me. I had to tell a young man, he said, come on, let's go on a vacation. You need somebody to chaperone you or to go with you. I'll go with you. I know you'd be paying for everything, but, and I said, why don't you go and get a job? I said, you need to be thinking about every week of your life, at least 40 hours of putting in some hard work to develop how in the heck you're going to be paying your rent for the rest of your life. Instead of trying to convince an older man, a mentor, to have some fun, I agree with Solomon. There's nothing new under the sun. All is vanity. All of it. There's emptiness. Total waste. That's why when you hear silence, like I'm hearing now, silence, the only thing that God wants to proceed out of this silence is wisdom. Get your house under order. If you're a woman that ran the man out of the house, if you're a woman that's making 18 figures, I don't care how much money you're making. I remember one day, I was dropping off a young man for work. And there was a black woman in the car. She was driving a fancy Mercedes. And she had pulled up behind me in Westwood. And she was kissing. I know it wasn't her son, but he was young enough to be her son, at least. But she was giving him a very intimate kiss. And he got out of the car and had his, he was going to UCLA, had his books and everything, but you can tell that he had spent the night at this older professional black woman's house. You could tell. She was satisfied. And in our community, that happens in everybody's community. And she paid him. Now, that's one way for somebody to make some money. It was the girls doing it, but now the guys are doing it. Everybody's trying to make money. Because it's easier to make money that way than to get up off your lazy ass and get a job. But I know when you talk with the millennials like that, it kind of, well, God told me. God ain't told you nothing. And I don't know why they bring God into the argument when God would not even come close to such ridiculousness. That's called whoredom. Okay? Well, have you ever done anything wrong? Oh, numerous occasions. And God will let me know if it's whoredom. I don't need you to tell me. If I can define it and to describe it and know what it is when I'm looking at it. And I had a young man in the car with me. I was dropping him off at his job. And I said, did you see that? And he said, yes. I said, that is why I brought you here to this job, because I don't want you doing that. Because that's going to go with him and her. And it's coming back at them. And sometimes it comes back ugly. You need to tell your children that. The ones that are listening, you know, they have all these, oh, I don't know what they call them. What do they call them? Everybody got a talk show like me. And everybody's talking. But then, you know, some of the young men, they went, well, John, listen to this talk show. Let me, well, what is he doing wrong? What is he doing wrong? I don't know what he's doing because I can't understand where he's coming from. He started the show off with something crazy, and then they all laughed. And when they laughed, he kept building on his buffoonery. So that turned me off because I only listen to something that is denotive of wisdom and intelligence. You know what one black guy told me? Oh, you sound like a white man. Okay. I hope not the one that choked out George Floyd. I don't want to sound like that. But if the white man sound with intelligence and integrity and wisdom and ethics and loyalties and professionalism and intelligence, I'm repeating myself, well, then yes, I want to talk like that. I remember a relative asked me once, while they were going through dire straits. And they said, why haven't you ever acted like us? I said, because I detested the way us was acting. Why would I act like that? And I said, I would be acting because I could not live like that and hold my head up. Certain things that are shameful. I look at that Life in the Shy. Young black man has a YouTube page, and he shows all these disturbing videos of our people shooting at other people at random without any thought for human life. Someone birthed those people. Some people in Chicago birthed those children. Those children out there firing those guns have mothers. And the fathers who are irresponsible and just impregnated the ladies and left the ladies to their own demise, which is disgusting, how a man can father a child and run away from the responsibility of feeding it, clothing it, taking care of it, nurturing it. But if he was done the same way, well, we're into now at least three generations of ass-out illiterate people from our culture. I said it. You want to get mad at somebody? Get mad at me. Oh, I wish I could come over there and hit you. Why you want to hit me? Because I told you the truth? You're illiterate and it's embarrassing. Now, I know every time I go into Sears or some kind of department store, somebody always watching me. It doesn't bother me anymore. Because when I'm walking through there, I'm looking around. Most of the time when I go to a department store, I'm not there to buy anything. I buy everything I want online. If I'm in the area and want to see something, I'll get out and walk to the department store. I see the store detective following me around because I'm a black man. That doesn't bother me. Because I know my intention is not to steal anything, and I'm glad that he can keep on the job by looking at me. Thank you. I'm making him earn his pay. And as I leave, I say, can I speak with you? Yes, sir. Thank you for watching me. You didn't take your eyes off me 1 minute. And that's the way you're going to save these people from getting robbed. God bless you. But I'm not bothered by that. I'm not going to accuse him of racism. He's doing what the authority paid him to do. And I'm doing what the authority paid me to do. God said, you're in America. If you want to see something, get out of your car, park on the lot, go in the store, and look at the stuff. Keep your hands in your pocket. Don't touch anything unless you want to feel the fabric. And sure enough, don't take it off of the hanger and stuff it in your shirt because that's stealing. Oh, I see people doing that all the time. They have 4 and 5 kids with them. Had the kids start a commotion, and so that the store detectives would look the other way while they're stuffing stuff in their drawers. Oh, don't play with me. That's called thievery. And I like what the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. The sin that you did is the lack of being conformed to God's standards. And then your refusal after someone tells you what you are doing is wrong. Like, look at that guy, Derek Chauvin, that cop that choked George Floyd to death. He did not conform to what his code told him to do to protect and to serve the public. He was killing them. That's why he's going to spend the rest of his natural life eating bologna sandwiches unless some cop, white, black, or whatever color, has sympathy and brings him prime rib every night, strawberry shortcake, let him watch widescreen TV, and let him have a couple of concubines come in to service him from time to time. Because they do prisoners like that at times. Ask Al Capone. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that's the kind of world we live in. Just because he was convicted and is in solitary confinement, no, that's for his own safety. Hey, man, this is the cop that likes to choke brothers out. Put him in San Quentin in the main population. No, they wouldn't dare do that. He wouldn't last a day. But is that punishment too hard for him? asked George when he was calling on his mom. And you know, that's a sad thing. I would have called on my daddy. Not that my mom didn't love me, but I would need daddy with a strong hand to pull this man off my neck. People, I just want us to wake up a little bit more. And there will be more police killings. I'm not speaking negativity. I'm telling you the truth. We're living around human beings. These policemen have to go home. They scared when they, hey, look, I spent years working with Los Angeles Police Department, officers of the law, Central Division, Wilshire Division, Southwest Division. I spent time working out of those police divisions, speaking with sworn personnel. One of my supervisors was a white sergeant at times. I didn't have anything against him. He had a family. He had to go home to his family, help his children. We talked about the racial divide in the city and even had Bible study together. He didn't have to prove anything to me. Why does anyone have to prove anything to you or anybody else? Well, they don't. And when we come to that recognition, then we become citizens that can have a decent, logical conversation. I recently here, yesterday, as a matter of fact, I had to tell someone, and I had to make it perfectly clear, because I was asking some people, I said, if we're having a conversation here amongst ourselves, and a policeman came in his regalia, in his uniform, with his badge, his guns, and everything, and I knew the policeman, could we continue to have the same conversation lovingly with each other, including the sworn policeman in our presence? One man said, no. I'd refuse to say anything in front of him. And I said, why? I don't trust any cop. I said, really? I said, well, this person sitting right here across from you applied to become a cop, and he thinks like a cop because he was going to go to the academy. He's going to become a marshal now. And so you're telling me that when they swear him in, you can't sit down and listen to me, people. Listen to me. These young people don't know what they're saying. I said, you mean to tell me we could not have an intelligent, loving conversation? And he said, why are you picking on me? I said, ain't nobody picking on you. I'm a man talking with another man. I'm going to figure out where in the hell are you coming from that you would so disgrace and embarrass me in my house and say something like that. And I told him, I am a law and order man. I have always been. I said, I am liberal in helping other people. I am sympathetic towards a cause that is a genuine cause. But I'm set back that you would say that. And the individual was so upset, he got up and left. Now, I make it known to all the people that know me, I am a law and order man. I will never live in a society without police. And if you don't like the police, you need to stay away from me. Because, see, I know, and people like that are liars. Because the police is the first ones they call when they see that they're in a situation that is totally out of control. And they want their peace to come back. They call the popo. I was telling a man, whenever I call the popo, and I'm sucking on a cough drop, so I apologize if that offends you. But I speak to people, to my friends, to my acquaintances. And, you know, at times when you want to keep friends, you find yourself kind of begging the question, right? Because you don't want to, oh, God, I don't want to lose another friend. But now I'm coming to the point. You better choose wisely who you hang with. Because some people, you see, when you ever see them movies when some of these American white boys be trying to sell dope in Istanbul and all that stuff and go to prison in them foreign countries and all the basically manure that they got to go through because they got caught trying to smuggle some hashish back in this country. You ever watch them movies? I love to watch them movies because they put them in there with the rest of the population and they don't treat you like nothing in America. Nothing in America. And I laugh when I see when the American parent tries to talk with their children because they keep leaving out the line that I wanted to hear the parents say, oh, I love you, Jethro. But we never taught you to smuggle no hashish. And who and what could have put that in your mind? That these people are that dumb that they aren't surveying Americans who thinks that they're privileged individuals. So son or daughter, you made your bed. I'll go to sleep in it. I'll be here in 20 years when you get out. You will be different, but you will never try to smuggle dope again in this country. That is the way one talks with someone else when one is serious about living and doing life and loving. Thank you for coming to my website. Look for, as our children continue to act up out there, just like anybody else's children, there will be more shootings. And if it is more black people getting shot, it is not necessarily because the police are against black people. It is because black people are necessarily doing life in such a way that draws attention to them. And that attention demands a response. Try to pray for our law enforcement officers that they would follow the penal and municipal codes of conduct, which we as taxpaying citizens give them to protect us and to keep us safe from all harm. And I trust that you would do as I would do. As I have a device on my front door, anybody come up to it, they being recorded. So if they find me dead with my throat cut one night, maybe they can go to a device electronically and find out who took my life. I have nothing to say against this technology, but teach me how to use it. Thank you. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, on this Thursday, the 22nd of April, the year 2021, living and loving the life that I'm living and loving God who has sustained me these many years. God bless you and might he bless you and your families. Take care now.